This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court announced its long-awaited decision on partisan gerrymandering, the practice of writing maps to disadvantage certain political parties. Justice John Roberts wrote the majority opinion, finding that federal courts cannot remedy issues of partisan gerrymandering. The vote was 5-4 along ideological lines, with the more conservative justices in the majority. Justice Alana Kagan wrote the dissent, lambasting the majority decision as a failure of the court's duty to preserve the fundamental and constitutional rights of American voters. Now, in states like Wisconsin, decisions over gerrymandering cases are largely left in the hands of politicians who've benefited from these maps. Writer David Daley is an expert on gerrymandering, and he authored a book on the topic called Rat Effed, Why Your Vote Doesn't Count. He joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers in the studio to talk about the SCOTUS decision.
So walk us through the Supreme Court decision because, you know, as someone who is not a lawyer, I found it a little confusing.
It is a really confusing decision. And one reason is because the facts of all of these cases are just so clear. The mountains of smoking gun partisan evidence of intent and so many lower federal courts, bipartisan panels of judges, all of them finding these maps to be unconstitutional and signaling to the Supreme Court that they had the tools to fix this problem. And what the Supreme Court essentially did was overrule all of them. And they did so in kind of a confusing way, right? Because they concede that partisan gerrymandering is a problem, that it can be toxic to our politics. But they sort of throw their hands up in the air and they say, we are not the right place to be taking these claims. And what the court did was it ruled claims of partisan gerrymandering to be non-justiciable, which is kind of a fancy way of slamming the federal courthouse doors shut on these topics and saying, you can't argue that here. This is a political issue. It belongs someplace other than the federal courts. Now, of course, a lot of voters look at this and say, well, the problem with gerrymandering is that it tilts the political system in favor of politicians and the partisans who drew the maps. So how can I possibly get relief in the political system? If not the courts, where else? Except the Supreme Court yesterday in that opinion, but by John Roberts said, sorry, not here.
Yeah, exactly what you're saying is kind of what I took away from it. They're telling us, the American people, that this needs to be worked out by people who were voted in on those maps.
And that's what's so confusing about it. I mean, in Wisconsin last year, you had 200,000 more votes for the assembly for Democratic candidates over Republican candidates. And the Democrats gained one seat and sliced the majority down to 63-36. So it is not particularly likely for politicians to have any incentive to actually fix this problem. And throughout the Chief Justice's opinion, I don't know if it's naive or disingenuous, but he consistently suggests that voters have the tools to do something about this on their own. He talks about all of the bills that have been introduced in state legislatures and Congress over the years. Well, they're bills for a reason. They've not become law. And that's because the politicians in office don't want to actually do anything to eliminate the advantages that they have. He talks about the possibility of citizen-led independent commissions or the success of ballot initiatives last fall. Well, he also ignores there the fact that the Chief Justice himself in a 2015 case involving the Independent Commission in Arizona suggested that even independent commissions might not be constitutional. The Chief Justice suggested that individual voters know how to solve this because they can cross party lines and they can vote for whichever candidate that they like. He must be unaware of the political science that in 2012, you had the lowest number of split partisan ballots in this country in a century, and that record was broken in 2016, he must not be looking at the number of state legislative seats, half of them in Wisconsin, upwards of 80% of them in states like Georgia that have no competition at all because these districts have been drawn so non-competitively that Democrats or Republicans look at them and they say, I can't run here, I can't win here, and that voters essentially have zero choice. It's hard to look at that opinion and believe that there's an easy way forward here.
Yeah, I mean, and this is, you know, perhaps seems like a hyperbolic question, but what does this mean for the state of our democracy?
This is a really sad day for voting rights, and it's a crushing blow to representative democracy. I mean, we used to have this kind of agreed upon notion that elections and government depends upon the consent of the governed. And that's what gerrymandering positively erodes. I mean, it's fundamentally corrosive to that idea. And what we've seen in this last decade, Democrats and Republicans have done this. I'm not picking on either party here. Republicans simply did more of it in the 2010 cycle, and they did more of it at a time in which technology made these gerrymanders more enduring, longer lasting, and easier to draw. But what we have seen over the last decade is that this has radically tilted our politics in favor of the party drawing the lines, and that even electoral waves, one way or the other, have not been enough to ensure that a party with the majority of votes gets a majority of seats. And that's the real question at heart here. How do we ensure that a majority still rules in a representative democracy? Gerrymandering calls that into question. We had a litany of federal courts saying that they had an answer, that they had a way to solve this. And yesterday, the Supreme Court just slammed the door in their face.
Well, and you have people like former Governor Walker, you know, he tweeted out this map that shows, you know, many of the counties being red in Wisconsin. But when you look at how many people live in each of these counties, it pales in comparison to some of the larger counties that are blue. And I think those kinds of maps in particular can be really confusing for people. They go, well, if the majority of the state is red, then shouldn't the majority of the seats go to, you know, the Republican Party?
Yeah, those maps are deeply misleading. We have a notion of one person, one vote in this country, not one acre, one vote. And what those maps show is size, not people. And so to show a map that has, you know, a couple specks of blue and is largely dominated by red doesn't carry the argument for your side if there are far more people actually living inside those blue specks.
Yeah, to me, it harkens back to a time when really only wealthy landowners were allowed to vote. The idea that, you know, the more space you have, the more voting power you have, it doesn't really speak to what I think we now believe is a representative democracy.
I think that's exactly right. And for years, we've also been told that this is about geography, that the advantages that Republicans have had in states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, a lot of the places where gerrymanders have been contested and found to be unconstitutional over the course of this decade, that this was somehow a natural self-sorting, that, you know, it was Democrats simply living in the cities, Republicans, you know, more efficiently spread out in rural and suburban neighborhoods. And while the Supreme Court may have slammed the door on the justiciability of this, what they can't do is erode the facts that were found in each of those cases. And judges across the nation, bipartisan judges appointed by Republican and Democratic presidents alike, completely dismissed the idea that geography plays any role in this. They completely agreed that it was map making that created the kind of intentional bias that has been found in the maps this decade. And I think that the real concern moving forward ought to be that the festival of partisan gerrymandering that we saw in 2011, that state legislators now have an absolute green light to go even wilder next time around.
You know, at the same time, the Supreme Court released this decision, they also decided on the citizenship question in the census. Can you explain that decision?
I wish I could. That decision is very complicated, and I think it's not completely done yet. Essentially, what the Supreme Court said yesterday is that they don't completely buy the argument that the Trump administration has been giving them for why they need to have a citizenship question on the census. But they're giving the government a little bit more time to justify its inclusion. It had been said that there was a printing deadline, you know, at the end of this month, that if the census was to go out on time, that this question had to be either included or not included pretty much by now. But now there is a sense that the actual deadline could go as far as October, so that there's a little bit more time for the courts to hear additional argument. And there is a lot of new evidence here that has recently come forward. And what a lot of that does is it connects gerrymandering and the census question. There was a master Republican mapmaker named Thomas Hoffler, who was one of the visionary Republicans behind these redistricting strategies over the course of many, many decades. And when Hoffler died last summer, his daughter came into possession of some of his thumb drives, and they went to Common Cause, the National Good Government Reformers. And when they looked through those documents, what they found was evidence that Hoffler had been working on memos and studies as far back as the middle of this decade, pushing a citizenship question so that he would be able to turbocharge gerrymandering in the next cycle. The way that he would do that is complicated, wonky, and a little bit technical, but bear with me for a moment. Right now, we draw these districts almost all of the time for state legislatures based on total population. So everybody gets counted, whether you are 18 years old or not, whether you're a voter or a non-voter, whether you are a citizen or a non-citizen, the idea being that a representative is supposed to represent everybody. What Hoffler suggested was that Republicans could draw themselves new advantages next time around if they shifted from going on total population to citizen voting age population instead. And Hoffler writes in his memos that this would give whites and other Republican groups a big advantage, especially in states like Texas, other large states that have a big immigrant population. And so the evidence that Hoffler was in touch with folks at the Census Bureau and that the administration was not being completely forthcoming about its actual interest in having this question on the census, there is a lot there still to be litigated.
So looking a little beyond the census, because I think that's going to be up in the air for a bit, we have a number of people here locally saying that despite the fact these cases may not end up in federal courts, we haven't heard the last of gerrymandering lawsuits, particularly in states like Wisconsin, where we have Republican chambers and a Democratic governor. How could that impact this next set of maps, specifically here in Wisconsin?
It's going to be a really interesting fight in Wisconsin in 2021. Indeed, you have a Democratic governor, and you are likely to have Republicans in control of both houses of the legislature. That means that the Republicans in the legislature will have the power to draw the maps. The Democratic governor will have the ability to veto those maps. That should send all of this into the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. That has been weighted towards conservatives in recent years. It's an elected court. Conservatives hold a majority on that court. There's one more election next spring for the next 10-year term. But that ought to give Republicans a leg up as far as redistricting in the state next year. Democrats will at least have a seat at the table, something that they did not have when these maps were drawn in 2011 in secret in a private map room at the Michael Best Law Firm in Madison. So they'll have you know, some ability to influence the process, but it may be more minimal than Democrats hope.
Yeah. Well, David Daley, thank you so much for speaking with me about this topic and doing your work. And thanks for being on Lake Effect.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
David Daley is an expert on gerrymandering, and he's the author of Rat Effed, Why Your Vote Doesn't Count. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and you can learn more about gerrymandering and the recent SCOTUS decision at WUWM.com.